In this episode, we discuss Katherine Heigl's most honestly named film, One for the Money. And before we start, a reminder for New York area fans, come see our screening of Quiet Cool with live commentary this coming Friday, June 8th at 92Y Tribeca. More details on the website, www.flophousepodcast.com. And welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And who's this over here with you guys? It's Ellie Kalin. Knock, knock, who's there?
Thank God he identified himself.
How did you know? You're wearing a wire?
Ellie with two T's, right?
Yeah, you better believe it.
Okay. What happens if I do one T?
The other T is your tombstone. It's crossed
Can
on
I get
grave.
Pepperoni and cheese on it? Or?
Yes.
Okay, Dan, what
very generous of you.
The man with the pizza-shaped tea.
Let me reset, as they say in the radio business.
What, are we starting over?
This is a show.
I don't understand.
A show that you listened to through your ear holes.
So what do we do on this show, Dan?
People aren't watching us right now?
No. So
I thought we made
off.
Like 100 of these videos
or
and people
are
watching
case,
it.
Put your pants back on.
All of the hilarious visual gags you're doing right now are lost to the sands of time.
Oh, good one.
I'll take off these wacky glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I like those.
This is a show where we watch a movie, probably a bad movie.
Almost
and then
always.
We discuss it
spoilers.
Afterwards.
And what's the name of this show?
It's called The Flophouse
Podcast.
That's a pun on the idea of a flop and also the concept of a flop house, which is where...
cowboys and shit would go hang out.
Well, I mean, like drunks.
It's where cowboys would hang out and also shit. It's a house where shit hangs out.
It's more like it's the old version of a crack house.
Okay.
Well, that's not entirely accurate.
Well,
I mean, they were legal, right?
Right, history man.
A flop house is more like a halfway house.
Oh, for crack addicts.
Yeah, no.
For old-timey crack
you're
addicts.
You're going the other direction.
That's
you're
crack spelled with a Q-U-E at the end.
Yeah, and an E at the end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, apologies if there's any ambient noise. It's
we're all on Ambien right now.
Summer has come upon New York City very quickly.
It's a hot time. Summer in the city. On the back of my neck... It's not gritty, I'd say, but
that's no. Yeah, that'd be weird.
I think,
but the
yeah,
windows
raining,
are
right?
wide open. It's raining. I have not put the air conditioner in, just to set the stage, a little ambience.
And also,
ambiance.
I'm walking in the snow, and there's a crackling fire. Crinkle, crinkle, crinkle.
Oh, yeah, and wait over there, guys.
And
there,
the wolf.
There's a Flophouse house cat over there, right? Get it? Oh, that's hilarious,
What's
right?
What's a house cat doing so far in the woods?
Yeah.
I can do sound effects.
It's a house cat. I mean, specifically, it's in the name.
Yeah, it's not a wild
Should
cat.
Not be
well,
in the
that,
woods.
The house cat, though, is a wild cat.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on. We all just did some sound effects, guys.
Yep.
That's
so we
free.
Warmed up.
Yeah, high five.
That's free. Woo! Now you got to pay for it. Dave, you heard the sound effect of Stuart and Dan high-fiving. It's actually the sound of a man punching a side of beef. That's how they make that sound on the radio.
That's some Flophouse Foley magic.
Yep, Dave Foley magic.
Mm-hmm. He's over in the corner drinking sadly to himself.
And doing close-up magic tricks.
I didn't know that was something that Dave Foley was known for.
All you need is a pack of cards and one coin, entertain for hours.
Okay. Well, we watched a movie tonight
What's
called...
amazing is he can entertain himself because he's so drunk he forgets the tricks. He doesn't know how they're done, even as he's doing them.
A man who was a great comedy hero of mine.
Mine too.
That's been destroyed now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about destroyed.
We shouldn't laugh.
Was it like through gaslighting or something? Or
Yeah. If someone wanted to steal his jewels.
Kevin McDonald?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can only assume Kevin McDonald wanted to steal Dave Foley's jewels. So we watched a movie tonight?
It was called One for the Money with Katherine Heigl.
I've never heard of this movie.
Rated R.
Was it rated R?
I don't think so.
He's a movie phone guy.
Probably not. PG-13, there was a scene where
Katherine Heigl clutched her arm in front of her naked breasts.
You saw her naked side.
Mm-hmm.
Side boob?
But
side
I think that's...
butt and boob.
Okay.
So mark that down, Mr. Skin, if you're listening at home. Mr. Reginald Skin.
You better believe that Mr. Reginald Skin
MD.
Bought one for the money on Blu-ray
Dr. when it came Skin. Out. Please, that's Dr. Skin.
I didn't go to skin school for 6 years to be called Mr.
Is a degree in skin?
You don't think Mr. Skin got a screener for this?
I'm sure he did. At this point, because
he's an Academy voter.
Yeah,
got an Academy screener.
By the way, do you know that the reason that Mr. Skin can operate is that technically he's a review site? That's why he can put up all that material, that copyrighted material, is because he's nominally a review site. So he can, quote-unquote, review the movie while showing clips from
He's reviewing nudity.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but that's why he's not in trouble with copyright.
That's why the founding fathers put
home,
that law.
Listeners
in.
At home, Elliot and I have completely non-shocked expressions on our faces.
Yeah, we are in no way.
I just think that's an interesting fact. I think that's an interesting way to skirt
to our
copyright
movie tonight?
Law.
How's it related?
Well, it's related in that that's probably the same reason I can put posters up on the Flophouse site without getting.
Because we're nominally a review site, but actually a boob site.
It's more
actually,
of
we're just people just.
It's more of a sound effects site.
Ow! It's misty on the moors tonight.
Ding, 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 ding,
we're on a night like this on the docks on the moors.
That's not even a sound effect.
Oh, you bagged yourself a wolf batross. Like a seabird that's also a wolf.
Did we paint an ear picture for you guys? We
painted
hope we
a
did.
Picture of an ear.
Yeah.
So, One for the Money, starring Katherine Heigl, a huge cast. Fisher Stevens, John Leguizamo.
Don't get attached to Fisher Stevens.
Jason Mara of Sherry the Shepherd. Failed television shows Terra Nova and Life on Mars.
Yeah, I think, and related to Rooney Mara, right?
I hope so.
David, write in and
David
correct us.
Kalen, write in.
Debbie Reynolds.
Now this, Debbie Reynolds. Oh, how can I forget? The biggest star in the movie
screen
is Debbie
star,
Reynolds.
Screen star, yeah.
This movie is based on the first of these Stephanie Plum.
The guy who played Jimmy Barrett on Mad Men, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Based on the first of the Stephanie Plum novels by Janet Ivanovich. This series is a particular favorite of my mother, or was for a while. There's 23 of them now.
Yeah.
And I think my mom got tired around 16 or 18.
Yeah. I mean, well, that reminds me of like the Sue Grafton mysteries, where she set out, you know, like the alphabet mystery novels. And it's like, okay, well, there's going to be 26 of these. I am going to check out around N, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah, when she got lazy after a while. I think V was for the letter V.
X was for xylophone, which is weird.
W is for whatever, something mystery related by Sue Grafton.
But you make up the rest.
But this is a series about Stephanie Plum, who is a young woman down on her luck. She doesn't have a job. She's in danger of losing her apartment.
I don't understand how she can be so down on her luck when she owns the patent to plums. That's the weird thing.
Moving along. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look to your right, you'll see a stupid joke. Moving along.
Wait. Our character is Stephanie Plum. Is that she? We learn that she is divorced.
Mm-hmm. She's divorced.
Is that last name
the daughter of
from
Professor Plum?
Is that last name her? God. Is that her original last name, or is that?
If we didn't need you to do the tech, Dan.
God, is that last name from her ex-husband?
I don't remember.
I'm only wondering because she has this large, very boisterous, very loud vocal.
You're saying Italian.
Italian family, yes.
It's New
and
Jersey.
Plum doesn't sound, unless.
Maybe
I
it
mean,
was Plumalino before they came to Ellis Island, or as it was known before it came to Ellis Island, Ellis Island Alini.
Okay.
They changed
Plumari.
The name of Ellis Island at Ellis Island.
Okay, so wait, we're just going to come up with variations on the name Plum on how to Italianize it up?
Plumariti.
Okay.
Plumaritzi.
I like that one.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember.
So let's go on.
She's a
new... But you read this book, right?
I read this book years ago because my mom was a big fan of it, and she was like, you should read this. You'd enjoy it.
And
Elliot loves
it. Was there a sexy babe on the cover? Or?
No, this is one of those series where the title is just in big letters on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
So it just says, Janet Ivanovich won for the money. There's no illustration. Now I'm sure on the book there's probably a picture
Janet Ivanovich is the selling point in that scenario.
Yes.
Just like James Patterson.
Heigl,
and
like,
also numbers.
Daintily holding a pair of handcuffs.
Handcuffs over her butt.
Yeah.
Like in the poster. Because she's going to handcuff her butt, I guess.
That seems like a bad
two
idea.
Two cuffs, two butt cheeks. That's how it works out. That's math, Stu.
Okay, let's go
on. Let's move on. Moving on. So she's a down-on-her-luck woman. She's divorced.
More plum material, if you want to hear that.
She's out of work. She's about to lose her apartment, and her car gets towed. She's got this boisterous family that's trying to set her up with a schlubby guy who's not a bad guy. And she's got a crazy, wacky grandma played by Hollywood legend Debbie Reynolds, who you may remember from the best Hollywood musical ever, Singing in the Rain.
She hams it up a little bit in this.
She hams it up a lot. This is a movie where...
I think the director was frightened to tell her to tone it down.
Well, yeah, she had a loaded gun in one scene. She's just waving around. There is one dinner scene where Debbie Reynolds' character is just waving a loaded gun around that she's found in Katherine Heigl's bag.
People seem very unconcerned.
They're like, Ma, they're like, put it down, Ma. Come on, Ma, put it down. But they're not frightened, as they should be, because she shoots a turkey and meat goes everywhere, which leads to the one good line in the whole movie, which is...
spoiler alert.
I guess there's more than one. There's a couple good lines. But the best line, which is the guy they're trying to set her up with, turkey flies everywhere all over him, and he's wiping his glasses off and he goes, it's like fireworks made of meat.
Yeah,
great line.
There you go.
But anyway,
money in the bank.
So you guys we should probably pause for a minute for our listeners to totally crack up, because that was hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway,
just sew their sides back together because they have split.
They're gonna want to ice their knees after they slap them so much.
Adjust their wigs because they've just been flipped off. Oh, wait, no, that's surprise.
Yeah, that's. And gather up their socks because they have been knocked off. And so she decides she's going to go into business with her cousin Vinny, who is a bail bondsman.
And the not line, the my cousin Vinny, is actually said at one point.
Yeah, but it's not it's not Joe Pesci from My Cousin Vinny.
No.
It's actually...
So cool down.
Who plays him?
It's the guy who plays Jimmy Barrett on Mad Men. I don't remember. And he was in Lost, I think.
Irritating comedian Jimmy Barrett from Mad Men. You may remember him as the Utz Nuts guy, whose wife Bobby, Don Draper, attacked the vagina of with his hands in a restaurant.
Attacked the vagina of?
Yeah,
the vagina was coming towards him.
Well, to threaten her, he grabbed her vagina really hard.
Oh, really?
You remember that episode?
Oh, but she was. I mean, they were in a carnal relationship, the two of them.
Yeah, but he did it. It wasn't out of lust. That was too.
I know, but attacks the vagina. Bothering. It sounds like he's got some nunchucks or something, and he's just whacking at it.
Yeah.
Go on, Dan.
Keep
talking.
Okay. Stuart's turned on by the nunchucks part of this equation.
Now I'm Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle.
No, I don't. I'm not writing erotic fanfic for you.
You should write erotic Ninja Turtle Mad Men crossover fanfic between Bobby Barrett and Michelangelo.
Finally found my niche.
So she decides to become a bounty hunter for her cousin, the bail bondsman.
Okay.
This is taken by everyone. Everyone is like...
Takes first 10 minutes of the movie.
The first 10 minutes of the movie, but also she just eases into this job of bounty hunter. And when she tells people, they're like, a bounty hunter, in the same way as if I told people, I'm going to try to become a model. People would be like, a model. They'd be kind of... be surprised.
I'd be down with it. But you could do it.
But if I told people I'm going to be a bounty hunter, they'd be like, what are you talking about? You're going to be killed.
You don't have a ponytail.
Your
karate chops aren't strong enough.
You're not sassy. You don't wear cleavage-bearing tops.
You're not a dog.
Okay.
Or have the name dog.
Sure.
No, it's right. She basically walks into the bail bondsman office and says, oh, I'm here for the filing job. And they're like, oh, yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. And she's like... you have another job? And they're like, oh, yeah, be a bounty hunter.
And she's like, okay.
And that's it.
Case closed.
If only, Dan. But it went on for another hour and roughly 15 minutes.
Yeah. She gets, as her case, this guy, what's his name, Morelli?
Morelli.
Officer Morelli,
like the mushrooms.
A cop who's been accused of murder and is on the run. Also the man she lost her virginity to when she was 17. And then he didn't call her back, so she rammed him in the leg with her car and broke it. But that's all water unter die Brücke, as the Germans would say.
That's correct, by the way.
Thank you. Where was I? I was so busy figuring out.
You would think that this would be a difficult first case for a first-time bounty hunter,
yes,
right?
Especially since every other bounty hunter seems to be on this case because it's so difficult. Yet she finds him.
Yeah, this is a midnight run-style case where it's a high-profile, big reward case. A lot of people.
I mean, I'd have been up for it if it was a whole bunch of wacky bounty hunters all trying to catch this guy.
Like Smoking Aces?
Mm-hmm.
No, but wackier.
Like Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
Look, it doesn't get any wackier than a robot, a lizard man, a bug robot, and another robot.
A really thin robot.
And a guy in a turban, right?
and a guy wearing one ace robot needs dirty to ace bandages all over his body.
Yeah. Like a space and a mummy.
Wait, did
that's what he... Dengar, the space mummy? Oh, man, if the space mum's on your trail...
And a Boba Fett. Did he say Boba Fett?
I didn't say Boba Fett. He's too cool to make fun of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't want Boba Fett coming after you.
Nope.
No, because then you'll silence. Say, Boba Fett, where? And you'll hit him with a pole and knock him into a giant ground mouth.
Yeah.
So
big old sand vagina.
So, but she manages to find...
I was going to go toothed anus, but I'm glad that you picture a vagina.
It sounds like
So we're going to talk about the Sarlacc pit.
I was going to say, like, tooth anus sounds like the name of, like, a punk in, like, an 80s teen comedy. And there's our drummer, Tooth Anus.
Yeah, but he turns out to be an okay guy. Oh, yeah. Like, everyone just scared him for no reason.
Yeah, but it turns out at the end he's the guy who helps, his dad's, like, the chief of police or something, mm-hmm. and he helps him get out of a jam.
Yeah. Not a bad guy, Tooth Anus.
From the desk of T. Anus. So anyway, Stephanie Plum manages to find Morelli very easily for a guy that all the bounty hunters are after, but she loses him again. And so the rest of the movie, while she's looking for other bounties to get easy cash along the way, she is going after Morelli.
She finds like two, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one is a naked man who lives in her building.
Yeah, a naked elderly man who had given her newspapers for her hamster cage before. So it feels kind of like a betrayal of trust for her to take him into the police.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's any different than her chasing down the guy who gave her the gift of losing her virginity, though.
<That's true. laughs>
Gave her the gift of losing her virginity. That's what you think of all of the women you've despoiled in your time, Stuart.
That's one gift you can't return.
Yep. That's true. And I don't know about you guys, I could have used a really great montage of her just like catching crooks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been
nice. But like sassy, like hitting one with a baguette, choking one with a submarine sandwich.
Like France to catch them?
These are all
like bread-based.
Tripping a guy with a loaf of bread.
I think you think this movie is called Bread for the Money. It was not. It was called One for the Money. I don't know if she's some kind of bread-based superhero.
I don't know. I think it works, though.
The superheroine Baguette. Nice. She takes down that and like a hillbilly type. And along with the help of it, she's kind of taught the ropes of being a bounty hunter by handsome, hunky bounty hunter, Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Who
she said was like the Michelangelo's David dipped in chocolate or something.
Dipped in caramel.
Caramel, yeah.
And packing heat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically there to set up a love triangle. Will they, won't they? Because there's also Morelli. And the whole movie is basically them running around. Katherine Heigl is trying to catch Morelli, but then ends up getting caught up in trying to catch the man it looks like may have actually committed the murder.
Yeah, she has a little sympathy for him because there's still attraction there, and she...
He's got amazing blue eyes.
Yeah, right?
And
he looks like a young Aiden Quinn.
And I'm not the super cut. Like, yeah. I said, he's got abs like a Ninja Turtle.
And, yeah. And she doesn't 100% believe that he's guilty. She's just maybe a little
better.
I mean,
she doesn't want to believe it, you know?
Yeah, those eyes. How could they be guilty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He might be guilty, but his body isn't.
That's the thing. If there was only a way where you could take his brain out of his body and just use his body for some kind of crazy carnal thing.
Oh, but there is, Stuart.
Okay.
Follow me into the lab. The man with no brains.
Dr. Sexenstein over here.
Is that a funk musician?
I hope so.
Katherine Heigl starts racking up a pretty big body count. She leads to a lovable pothead getting thrown to his death. Mm-hmm. There are a couple likable characters who are in one scene and then get killed.
There were a bunch of characters who were like who just happened to be witnesses to the crime that Morelli committed. I guess
that Morelli was accused of committing.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, for an abandoned building or wherever it was.
Sure,
there were like 15 people in that room.
Yeah.
But so
people start dying.
Sherry Shepherd is a prostitute, part of a prostitute duo who she goes to for information. Sherry Shepherd gets totally beaten up, has to go to the hospital. Fisher Stevens appears for one scene and then gets blown up in a car bomb.
Yeah. It's a real cock tease when it comes to Fisher Stevens.
We saw his name in the credits and we were like, yes, Fisher Stevens. Doesn't appear till like the last third of the movie and then gets blowed up.
Yeah.
Almost instantly. Spoiler alert.
We spent about 10 minutes trying to come up with scenarios that he might have survived the explosion.
Yeah. So for all you fish heads out there, don't even bother watching this movie.
Yeah. For Mr. Skin, Fisher Stevens edition.
Wait, is that for when Fisher Stevens is naked in a movie?
Yeah.
Turtling, it's called.
It's naked. And finally, we find out who did the whole thing after another couple people get killed. And should I reveal who it was?
Yeah, sure. It doesn't matter.
It turns out to be boxing gym owner John Leguizamo.
The Pest?
Yes, the Pest. The Violator himself. Yep. In league with a mixed martial arts fighter named Ramirez. Mm-hmm. And in the end, Katherine Heigl is at gunpoint. She's being held at gunpoint, her and Morelli, in a meat truck in the middle of a swamp or something. And John Leguizamo is holding them off, and then, like, what, does Morelli pretend to be sick? And John Leguizamo's like...
No, Morelli is handcuffed to something.
Yeah.
And then Katherine Heigl pretends to be sick, I guess. Oh, so John Leguizamo's like, okay, she's sick, I won't point my gun at her anymore. That's probably what's making her sick.
She's like, what's wrong, honey?
And she pushes him over and then shoots him in the chest, like, four times.
Case closed. For real.
And Morelli, I guess, and they clear Morelli's name.
I mean, she was wearing a wire, right? It's not a Lethal Weapon 2 sort of thing.
I don't know if she was still wearing the wire.
She hands it over at the end to her, like, her friend that, as we were saying, looks like a cross between Steve Buscemi and Will Arnett. She's like, oh, you know, like, he's innocent, by the way. Right. Let him cool his heels.
She's friends with one of the policemen in Trenton.
Yeah.
Who.
Yeah, she turns in the love interest for the bounty. But then it was like, oh, by the way, he's innocent, but keep him in jail for a bit.
Yeah, because he's mad at me. And yeah, so she's got the job. Sherry Shepherd gets a job. She got to shoot a guy.
No, there's nothing on her. She got to kill a guy.
Well, because it's justified. She has to fill out the paperwork. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, she got to hunt the most dangerous game.
Leguizamo.
No payback at all.
She got to hunt the most dangerous game, a sexaholics. As a stage show that John Leguizamo did a while back.
Yeah.
Most dangerous game, a pyromaniac love story. And so, case closed. Stephanie Plum is off. She's got a new job as a bounty hunter, and now it's time for more Stephanie Plum adventures. So we can expect 27 more movies in the series.
This was a huge hit, right?
Yeah, it was actually a huge hit. What's the opposite of a hit?
How much did this thing cost?
It cost, the budget of the film was about $40 million, not counting marketing distribution.
So, and it made like, what?
$40 million? What? That is not on the screen.
Well, a lot of it's Katherine Heigl, Fisher Stevens, does it come cheap?
In this day and age, Katherine Heigl is still drawing down
It was $40 million, and it took in like $10 zillion. $11 zillion,
according to Wikipedia. It made about $26 million in America.
Okay,
and $10 million.
The international box office was huge. Right?
$10 million overseas.
That's just per country, right? In the world.
For every country. All of them put together.
They didn't... Abroad it was called, of course, Plum Finder of Lost Persons. Which was huge.
I think it was called Lady Dick.
I think if it was called Lady Dick, it would have made way more money.
At least in Thailand.
Yeah. So,
but it was not a success. And, well, here's the thing. Heigl's other movies usually cost in like $27 to $30 million range.
Right.
So for a movie like this that's a Katherine Heigl movie that also has like explosions and gunshots, I could see why it would cost a little bit more. $40 million
is $40 million, that is a lot of money for what we just saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Last Airbender. They're also
paying for Leguizamo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's not cheap, I don't think.
Yeah, well, he's
cheap-ish. They had to pay for Leguizamo's stuntman to wear the squib vest or whatever.
Yeah, Sean Leguizamo. His stuntman, Sean. They worked together in every movie. They had to pay for stunt hamsters. I mean, there's a lot of actors in this movie. It's a very big cast.
Katherine Heigl's body double.
Yeah.
For that sex scene.
There's no sex scene.
For the nude scene through the semi-opaque, mostly opaque...
Is that another Mr. Skin tagline?
Semi-opaque. for a movie that is really, this is a lady movie, let's be honest.
Wait, what? What's a lady movie?
Yeah, a movie for ladies.
Oh, okay.
There's a fair amount of Katherine
like
Heigl's
the bow?
Skin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, like, that was the, it was, you know, that's, I think that that's what's supposed to draw them in. You know, there's action, and most of that action is done in tight jeans and a low-cut top. And
so that gets the boyfriend in the seats.
Mm-hmm. What about the girlfriend?
In the seats. He's a very large boyfriend.
Yeah, multiple
wow.
seats.
He has to buy a couple. So it's really inflated.
Wait, the totals are inflated. The seat? I thought you just rent it.
No, you bring your own seat.
It's weird.
These movie theaters are they're trying to cut down on overheads.
Yeah, take those seats home. They've got, you know, like, they've got grease stains on them. There's probably some bed bugs in them.
Pay for seat storage.
Yeah. No, it's a bad deal. You should not go see a movie in the theater.
So, yeah, I don't know why it cost $40 million, okay? But that's what Wikipedia says. Okay. And it was a big flop, which is strange considering.
So we're not going to see two for the money.
I don't. Well, that's that. I think the second one is two for the road or something like that. Or two to get ready.
Yeah.
Like the each.
Three to when it was three to get ready. Go cat go.
Oh, okay.
But there's 23 of them.
No,
you
go, like, you're thinking go dog go, which is the fifth of the right. genitive envelopes. Yeah. Go dog go.
Mm-hmm.
But each of the
about
titles
a dog
has,
that has a nice hat.
But when they get to like 23,
that's dog
is it like, when they get to 23, are they like 23 dead bodies or something like?
I mean, I don't know. They might just call it Stephanie Plum number
10 Little Indians.
Thank you.
The 23rd book, 10 Little Indians.
It's very confusing, the numbering system.
Yeah.
It's like a base 12 thing.
Base 12, yeah.
So,
and this is a movie that, much like Cowboy and Indians, Cowboys and Aliens.
I would pay to see that.
Much like
Cowboys and Indians, who would have thought it?
Together. In the same movie?
Together, finally at last. Much like Cowboys and
Do
Aliens.
Do they even exist at the same time?
This is another, movie where they optioned the source material many years before they actually made the movie. So this was in development for about 13 years in various stages.
Yeah.
They're probably just waiting for the perfect Katherine Heigl to come along and step into Stephanie Plum's famous shoes and do what she
does. I wonder what other actresses were attached. Eliza Dushku's, I don't know. Who's that one with the face in the Bridget Jones movies?
Renee Zellweger?
Yeah, she
that would be a weird choice.
With the face?
She's got that weird face.
Yeah, she's all
really red.
I don't know who else was up for it. But I will say this for the movie. It moves pretty fast.
Yeah.
And it is not, it's dumb, but it's not super painful. You know, it's not.
Here are my primary problems with the movie.
Oh, boy.
Man.
The direction is lacks at best. Like
it's almost non-existent.
The director seems to want to plunk someone down in the center of the screen and maybe have them sit there while they say something, and then they'll cut to another person who's sitting directly
like
in the middle of the screen.
A little more arty, like off center.
Yeah, well, shots. Occasionally put them to the side of the screen and maybe have someone walking for once. So that was a problem. And it just, like, there's, as you said, Elliot, people seem to not get that confused by her becoming a bounty hunter. There didn't seem to be anything at stake at any
point. It's the danger, and it, because it's a light movie or whatever, but, like, the danger of the fact that she's a bounty hunter never really seems to feel real, or, like, the characters knew what they were doing or knew what they were in for, and it made it hard to give a shit if Katherine Heigl's gonna solve this case if her life just seems to be like it's going to be fine, whatever.
But
happens.
Also, like, there's a light movie about a bounty hunter who's conflicted.
It's called Midnight Run.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a light movie about a bounty hunter who's conflicted about what he's going to do, and it's called Midnight Run. Yeah, and that case, like, there's a real sort of sense of stakes. Like, okay, well, this person may or may not deserve what they're getting, but I want this money, and the conflict of that actually feels like a legitimate push and pull inside a person, like a person who has a moral sort of quandary. Whereas this movie, it's just like,
let's buy the numbers.
Handsome,
I mean, this is about as disposable as a movie gets.
Yeah,
and it feels a little bit like that trope of you have the female character who's kind of stuck in a somewhat dangerous position, and she's got two different possible hunky male love interests that are opposed for whatever reason. And I don't know where I'm going with it.
No, I mean, like, you know, it's just it's not big problems
in Little China.
I mean, my like
sequel. Yeah.
My objections tended to come down like on a scene by scene basis of just like that's stupid. Like, there's a scene where, as we discussed, Katherine Heigl gets handcuffed naked to the shower curtain rod.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds super sexy, except for it's not. But she's handcuffed naked to the shower curtain rod.
Are
and
you
the
talking
guy
about
leaves.
The shower curtain rod thing again?
And just like, well, she really has to call her friend to unlock her from the handcuffs. Whereas anyone who has ever taken a shower knows that you can yank down a shower curtain rod from the walls.
Check out fucking muscles galore over
here. Yeah, look at
here.
Samson and Hercules over
no,
here.
No, like, I mean, like, as you said, Stu, like, Katherine Heigl, look, small lady, all she has to do is put her weight on the
look,
shower
Dan,
curtain rod
Dan,
and it's going to
we're not all
down.
Twin sitters, okay? We all can't right. all just rip shower curtain rods from the wall. Some of us are normal human beings.
Possibly for
muscles.
Comedic effect, maybe not.
Maybe there's a, like, boing sound effect.
It's
I don't
not like
know.
King Arthur drawing the shower curtain rod from the wall. I understand.
That would be a very weird reading of King Arthur.
But no, like on just like on a micro level, there are things that just don't ring true. Is,
like the
is
fact that
I'm
she's always snacking. True. But how does she keep that rockin' mm-hmm. bod?
But they bring that up. Morelli says, "How do you eat the way you do and look the way you look?"
Yeah, mm-hmm. but what does she say?
I don't remember something. She's handcuffed to a shower.
Work out a lot or what's going
she
on?
Says, "I'm a character in a movie and I don't actually eat like this."
I spit out the thing I was chewing moments after
see,
chewing.
The thing, it seems like you're asking for a little bit more realism, mm-hmm. whereas I would actually want the movie to go the other way.
I agree with you.
Be a little more exaggerated, a little more fun, and over the top.
More of like a get shorty.
Now, have you ever seen...
Kind of, and the best characters, or the most fun characters in the movie are like the druggy guy who gets killed, the prostitutes, like the very
yeah,
goofy,
really
over-the-top characters.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen
Tracy
the movie...
Tracy Morgan's character on, character's wife on 30 Rock.
Well, Sherry Shepherd.
Sherry Shepherd.
Have
yeah,
you ever seen The Last Action Hero?
That's her name.
Now, if it was a lot more like The Last Action Hero, I would be on board.
With a guy with
a
like
cartoon
a
cat, a guy with a
glass eye.
The first thing
has,
I was
like...
going to say was cartoon cat.
Yeah, we're pretty simpatico.
Anthony Quinn farting in a tar pit. All the things you want, like in Last Action Hero.
Oh, man. Last Action.
Death from the Seventh Sign. Seventh
yeah,
Seal.
William Sadler.
Yeah.
Actor William
just
Sadler.
Just walking
from,
around.
From Tales from the Crypt, yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome,
it's such
right?
a literate reference from it. It's so weird to see an action movie where they can take it for granted that the audience is at least familiar with the fact that this famous movie has death in it as a character.
Well, that is a movie. I mean, like, that's a movie that...
And shows a scene from Laurence Olivier's Hamlet early on. Like, that's a movie that...
That movie could have been good. It just was handled wrong. Like,
well, there's some good moments could've
been.
In it. I think the whole sequence where they're in the movie is great. Yeah. Where they're actually in the action movie. But then all the other stuff is kind of blah. I do like when he's in the
Tom
real world.
Noonan's really great. Wait, is that Tom Noonan?
In which part?
In that movie. Isn't he one of the bad guys?
I don't
is
know.
Is he the tall bad guy with the bald head?
Let's just assume that he is.
It's
and just
probably
say that
Tom
Noonan's always good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he is always good, and he's almost always a tall bad guy. It's rare that he's playing a short saint.
Sometimes he's a tall good guy, like in the Monster Squad
and yep, in Synecdoche, yep. New York.
It's, well, he's
well,
kind of a.
It's a weird guy.
I would
there.
Call him chaotic neutral in Synecdoche.
Go on.
But this, I think, One for the Money would have been better. I agree that like those scenes in Last Action Hero at least like go for broke, and they're not afraid to be a movie.
Wait, we're actually saying that it should be more like Last Action Hero.
Yeah, I'm. What well, awesome, okay. your facetious thing? I'm taking at face value.
No, I agree. It's awesome.
But I think this would have been a funnier or a more fun movie. It was like had a little bit more looseness and energy, and went farther with its jokes and its scenes. It plays it very safe. Like even when the characters bump into each other, they just kind of like, "Oh, you again?" Well, blah blah blah. Like they don't react to each other very much.
I think they could have improved it by, at somewhere in the development process, realized that they should have just turned it into a TV show and gone from there. Because
it
feels like... It
should be a
like,
TV show.
It feels like I'm watching a TV show, and I just saw the first episode. I'm like,
Maybe they'll figure this out later on.
Maybe they'll iron out all the...
And like
crap.
Episode 4, it might, you know, be something.
Yeah, you're right. This does feel like the pilot to a right? to an okay weekly show.
Like a USA show where characters are welcome.
Or yep, that,
that's the thing they say.
What was the show where the detective woman had a hat?
Prime Suspect.
Prime Suspect.
Based on, of course, the very good English show Prime Suspect.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that kind of show. That kind of show.
Wait, does the person in Prime Suspect in England wear a hat?
It's Helen Mirren, right?
Yeah, Helen Mirren.
She doesn't wear a hat? No. What the fuck's the show about then?
It was actually originally called Hat Police.
Hat Cop.
Hat Cop. You have the right to remain hatless.
So it's, how do I get one of those hats? You'll have to ask your lawyer.
You have the right to a hat. If you do not have a hat will be assigned to you. I think this could have been, so I say, take this movie, cast somebody else in every role except for Fisher Stevens and Sherry Shepherd and Barrett and all the other ones.
And like, the guy who played the guy who played Will Arnett and Steve Buscemi's son in the story of their love together.
It's just a guy who looks kind of like Steve Buscemi and Will Arnett has son. If you took this and made it the 1 hour pilot to a TV series and then gave that series some time to like get with it, mm-hmm. then it like reminds me of what that show Maximum Bob should have been like if it had stayed on for a while.
Right.
Maybe let Jonathan Frakes direct an episode or two.
Two takes Frakes? Yeah, of course. He moves fast and he works quick. It makes a better show than movie.
All right. I think we're almost there already.
Great movie.
I think we're almost there already, but we should get into our final judgments. This is a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, a movie you kind of liked. Stu, what do you say?
Oh, man. I think it's tough. I think I'm going to have to say it's a rare middle ground in between two categories. It's not fun enough to be a good bad movie, but I didn't hate it enough to really say it's a bad bad movie. I guess it's not really good in any way, but it does move fast. I'm not going to remember it forever as something I hated.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to sit on this fence with Stu. That yeah, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. But like, I could see my mom passing away an hour and a half on a rainy day watching this, you know.
Your mom?
Yeah, the same mom who likes the books.
I'm gonna.
So there's room on this fence, Dan.
No, I'm gonna.
It's a big fence. It's like the Great Fence of China.
I'm basically gonna be with you. I'm gonna say that this is one of the best of the bad bads. Like it was inoffensive. I kind of enjoyed watching it because I was in the company of you guys. And I'll say this about it, too. Like, I think Katherine Heigl was miscast. I don't think that she, sells herself as being tough in any way. But she is not brittle and unlikable in this movie like she normally is.
She's much more likable in this than she is in, 27 Dresses.
She's much more likable. I remember a time when I'm like, oh, I like Katherine Heigl. Toward the beginning of her career, when she was first coming out, I'm like, oh, she's good at what she does. And
but like they should.
She doesn't nag as much. Yeah, this one.
She never says D'Artagnan.
But she shows a bit of a comedic flair in this.
The
that
ideal
I think has been squelched
casting.
For a while.
If they had made this movie 18 years ago with Marissa Tomei in the lead role, that would have been basically perfect casting.
Yeah, I agree.
And you would have believed her as someone who is tough enough to become a bounty hunter if she had to, but two, you believe her as naive enough to not know what to do as a bounty hunter and be in crazy situations. But Katherine Heigl is just not quite there.
To have a cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, no, she doesn't have a cousin Vinny. She's actually engaged to Vinny. If they were cousins, it'd be very weird.
I totally misunderstood that movie.
No. Ralph Macchio is Vinny's cousin.
But she won the award for it.
Not everyone.
She won the award for being the best cousin of Vinny.
Not everyone in that movie had the title relationship with the character.
Wait a minute.
Like, for instance, the judge played by Herman Munster was not Vinny's cousin.
Oh my God!
And Perry White from The New Adventures of Superman.
So we're gonna watch this again,
Vinny's cousin.
Right?
Mm-hmm. What?
My cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
After this episode,
it's on TBS or something, right?
It is very funny, like TBS. Or is that? Wait, what's TNT? That knows drama, right?
TNT does know drama and basketball matches.
And USA is Characters Are Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This has been the Basic Cable Taglines podcast.
IFC, always on, a little off.
Yeah.
Logo shows RuPaul's Drag Race, my favorite show.
And I think VH1's tagline now is just, it's trending, which is horrible.
What?
That's almost as good as Time Warner's tagline, enjoy better. They're like, well, we like enjoy, and we like the word better.
Just smash them together.
So, yeah, let's put them together.
I'm Mr. Time Warner. I don't have a lot of time or
smash them up. So now it's time for the Flophouse Movie Mailbag.
Yeah,
Elliot's favorite part of the show.
Letter time. It's Flophouse letter time. Time for letters to the Flophouse with Dan and Stu and letters from you. Flophouse letters.
Wow, you didn't even put yourself in your own song. Better.
No, that's, well, you're right. Oh, and Elliot's here. Hey, who's this guy? Elliot Kalin. Glad you asked. Born in 1981 in New York, but he grew up in New Jersey. Went to Milburn High School. Graduated 1999. Then NYU for 3.5 years. I'm just singing my resume.
Okay, well, this letter is from Bob Mackey. He says, I withhold nothing.
Wait, oh, Bob wow. Mackey?
Mm-hmm.
The costume designer?
I can only assume. He says, I come to you with shocking news. Make sure you're sitting or have a reliable fainting mattress by your side.
Both, yes. Check and check.
Don't
do a spit take.
Oh, too late.
Another podcast has completely copped your style, and though it may lack the raw sensuality of the Flophouse,
I AKA thought you Stewart.
Should all know. And unfortunately, that podcast is my own.
Oh, wow.
I host OneUp.com's old school video game podcast, Retronauts, which has recently entered its 6th year. In a callow attempt to mix things up, I recently decided to borrow the formula of your very podcast.
We have a formula?
Of which I've recently become a major fan.
Thank you.
So far, we've covered Super Mario Brothers, Street Fighter, and Resident Evil, and we'll soon wrap things up with Mortal Kombat before we anger the notorious litigious Stuart Wellington.
Wait, what?
He has a lot of lawsuits in process right now.
I did plug...
Mainly against Seth Rogen.
Stop stealing my voice.
I did plug your podcast at the beginning of our movie month.
That's good. That's good. Very Rogen-y.
And I will do so again during the finale. If your listeners would like to listen in, just search for Retronauts on the iTunes Music Store. Plus, let me know if you would like to be sister podcast. If you visit the 1UP offices, you'll have diplomatic immunity and will be able to murder anyone you want as long as it's with your bare hands.
Yeah, until Danny Glover goes, diplomatic immunity was just revoked. Mm-hmm. And shoots us. You. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the money case explodes.
By the way, please see to it that Stuart is fully hydrated for all your podcasts. He was not the delightful scoundrel I expect him to be on the Conan the Barbarian podcast.
Oh my god, I was drinking Pedialyte. It just didn't work yet. Pedialyte takes like a day to work.
So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Retronauts podcast since they were so kind.
Yeah, thanks for giving us a shout out.
For us.
Glad you enjoy ours. Ours? Hours.
Hours.
Yeah. So if there's anyone out there who enjoys...
Don't give that a shout out.
Oh, sorry.
If there's a listener to our Flophouse podcast that enjoys retro gaming, I'm sure there would not be anyone in our...
Not much of a crossover there.
No. Our demographic is very different.
Our listeners are really awesome studs that like to party, hang out with
super
babes,
cool dudes.
Or are babes.
Yeah, they might are be babes, too.
A babe on each arm.
And they do enjoy Tetro gaming, which is gaming based on the later works of Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay, well, all of my plum jokes, in retrospect, seem pretty good now.
Nope. Still bad.
So, no, you can tell yourself that. If that gets you through this mailbag faster.
This next letter...
Thanks, Mr. Mackey.
...is from David, last name withheld.
This better not be our
brother. Oh, my God.
He says, I've become troubled by something that only you can help me with.
Oh, good. Okay. This is not my brother, then.
I've recently learned that someone I know likes the movie Old Dogs. What can I do in this situation? Has medical science advanced enough that I can cure this condition, or will I have to shut them in my basement for decades until they eventually break free and go on some kinds of Old Dogs-related rampage?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I do not have a castle to lock them up in,
or a
though
freak.
I've heard somewhere that's the best way of dealing with freaks.
No!
Thank you for your help in this matter,
oh,
and
man.
If the police turn up, I promise to keep your names out of it.
Thanks. Now... I need to ask.
We need more information.
Yeah, is the person who likes old dogs either a really old person...
Mm-hmm. Or a really young dog.
Or a really young dog.
Or a really young, or like a baby.
Yeah, like babies like all kinds of shit if it's flashing in front of their faces.
Yeah.
They just like colors and shapes.
Yeah, that's what old dogs has in spades, mm-hmm. colors and shapes. Well, what you were going to say, old person or...
Or like a baby, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're one step ahead of me. You're one step ahead, Kalen.
If it, that's what they call me. The nickname that's longer than my name. Yeah, I would say if it's a child, that's okay. They'll grow out of it. If it's an old person, there's only one cure, and that's death, and they'll get it. But
so Elliot's encouraging you to kill them.
No, no. The cold hand of nature
Elliot's
will do that for you.
Words, kill him.
No, and you not know what I said.
And they'll be judged by whatever gods they hold dear.
Anubis, yeah. Probably.
Or Anubis Crom. Takes possibly
your,
Crom.
Anubis takes your taste in movies and weighs it on a scale against a feather. And if you love old dogs, it's much heavier than the feather, and you're cast into whatever the Egyptian version of hell is.
Yeah.
But your ka is unsettled.
I hope that helps.
So hopefully you well, I and I or get a castle and just stick your freak in it. You know,
yeah. Just stick your freak in it.
I'm going to surprise you guys.
Stick your freak right in there.
Please don't ever.
I'm going to shock everybody and say I'm going to go with Castle Freak this time, guys. Okay. You should go and watch Castle Freak.
Thanks.
Yeah, if they like old dogs, show them Castle Freak. That should cure them.
So, this next email is from Heather, last name withheld.
Locklear.
It says, congratulations on your 100th podcast. I honestly just found your podcast through the uproar over not knowing that Olivia Wilde was the mom in End Time.
Well, I guess sure. Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
Sure.
In this case,
people are going wild over it. You get it?
Yeah, I get it.
I'm writing that Elliot... 1L, 1T, and
incorrect.
Dan.
Incorrect.
In describing a costume of Superman that fits a circle of friends with different body types, didn't notice that you experienced in real life the basic concept of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, parts
That's
1
true.
And 2.
That's a good point. It was the Brotherhood of the Traveling Superman costume.
Hoped it would set up a classic Flophouse tangent of the Brotherhood of the Traveling Superman costume. And how the Superman costume helps resolve your various cliched coming-of-age dramas. Hope Olivia Wilde was involved in at least one plot line.
Yeah, well, that's when I wore the suit under my clothes to make it look like I had muscles so that Olivia Wilde would go out with me. Yeah. Turned out at the end, she just liked my personality.
I thought she was your fucking mom. I thought that was the twist em up, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the big twist at the end, too.
But she still goes to prom with Elliot.
Yeah, why not? She's somebody's mom.
Yeah,
moms can go to prom.
Everybody's somebody. Every prom.
There's an O and an M in both of them.
Well, there's
every
the
prom is a mom.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
It was a hillbilly prom too. There were a lot of guys there with their moms.
So I hope that answers your question,
Dan. How did the Superman costume help you save your life?
I looked pretty good. I looked pretty good in it.
I agree. You look pretty good.
And Stuart, what would you do if you had a Superman costume?
I don't know. I'd probably go into stores and see if they give me free coffee. And
I'm a celebrity. You may know me as S-Man.
You may want to take a picture with me and then I'll sign it.
And I'll be like, no bullets, please. I'll die. Wait, I won't die. I mean, don't try. It'll bounce off and kill you.
Yeah. Don't try and pull a Houdini on me because I will surely rupture
because Houdini was shot in the gut.
While wearing a Superman
costume. No, I was going on a different
thing. While wearing a Superman costume.
I was saying don't punch me in the stomach because I have super...
Yeah, we didn't let him do that.
I have super appendicitis.
That's true.
So this last...
Super appendicitis.
This last
the S stands.
Oh, your yellow the rays from your yellow sun have given me super appendicitis.
Your yellow appendix. This is from Kristen last name.
I think
name
that means you have jaundice.
It
have yellow appendix.
Kristen, another lady. This is ladies' night here on the Flophouse.
It is.
Welcome,
lady. Catherine Heigl, Heather, and Kristen, Bob Mackey.
Mm-hmm. It says hi, floppers.
Hello.
Hey.
Some time ago,
Stuart is coming on to a letter.
You have nice eyes.
Is that your pickup line?
Go to. That's the first page, dude. First page of picking up ladies.
Tell
compliment
him.
Their eyeballs.
All right.
You got really sweet eyeballs.
Your eyes aren't bulgy at all.
And then you neg them.
You don't
like
look like a deep
eyeballs.
One or anything.
A deep one. You don't have the Innsmouth look.
Yeah. You're not like the last scene of Total Recall. Anyway, Christian says, some time ago you put out a call for Flophouse babies, which you defined as children conceived while listening to the show.
Oh my God.
That didn't happen.
I don't think I can meet that requirement, but I can tell you that when I awoke to my first labor pains, I was delighted to see my phone automatically downloading episode 94 Dreamhouse.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Your witty banter and amusing anecdotes helped me to get through a very long day as I waited for active labor to kick in. At least I imagine your banter was witty and your anecdotes amusing. I can never listen to that episode again as I will forever associate it with the extreme pain of natural childbirth. Anyway, spoiler alert, I eventually delivered a beautiful baby boy whom I have named after none of you. Thanks for making a difficult day a little brighter, and congratulations on 100 episodes.
I am so touched by that story that I am not going to even point out that Dan, when he meant to say child, said gave birth to a trial, and I'm not going to go on a tangent about a woman giving birth to a full court.
Sometimes when you're talking over me, I get so flustered that my mouth won't say the words that I want to say.
But I'm glad.
One vein on his forehead.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that we could be there to help you in your time. I feel like this was the Flophouse version of the sitcom where a woman is in labor in an elevator and like Zach Morris is stuck
Alf
there.
Alf does
him.
It, dude.
Well,
it
we all Zach Morris did it too.
We can all imagine.
Wait, was it? Oh my god!
The three
that
of us.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Zach Morris is Alf.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
The three of us delivered this baby in an elevator.
We
somewhere.
Both have the same haircut, I think.
Yeah, and Zach can stop time. Alf's from out of outer space. The girl from out of this world's from outer space and can stop time. Hello. Saved by the Alf.
Makes sense,
so yeah. You're saying that that girl's the child of Alf and Zach Morris?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Well, we're very happy that the boy was born healthily and that everyone's okay now. And I guess the next baby will be a little Danuert Telliot.
Yeah. Beautiful
or
name.
Alf. You could name it Alf.
Or Alf, yeah. Stands for alien life form.
All right. Well, this is the final segment on the show. This is where we recommend some movies that we actually liked, in contrast to, say, One for the Money,
which got a
marginal.
It was like it's like a 1.5-star movie.
He got a C-.
Yeah,
on the Flophouse scale.
Yeah. Okay. On the scale where Bratz is an A+, and 10,000 BC is an F-.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this was a C-. That sounds about right.
Solid C-, though.
Yeah, I mean, it got points for having no spear tooths, but it did have plenty of Mannix, so C-.
It didn't have any Mannix. I guess I fell asleep during the scene where Katherine Heigl hunted a mammoth.
Read between the lines, Elliot. So, Elliot, what movie would you like to recommend?
I would like to recommend a movie called The Missouri Breaks. It is a Western from the mid-70s starring Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando, directed by Arthur Penn. Who you've known from other movies. I'm not going to go into it.
Little
right
Big
now.
Man?
Little Big Man, among others. Yeah. Bonnie and Clyde and all that.
Sure.
And it's about Jack Nicholson and Harry Dean Stanton and Randy Quaid are a couple members of a horse thief gang.
The horniest Quaid.
The craziest Quaid. They're a horse thief gang, and one of their gang is killed by a rancher, and they decide to get revenge on him by opening a ranch next door and stealing his horses. And the rancher hires this kind of legendary but very eccentric gunman played by Marlon Brando to stop them. And Marlon Brando basically decides he doesn't really care about stopping them from stealing the horses, but he does want to kill these men. And it becomes a hunt, Marlon Brando hunting these people down, and Jack Nicholson has to kind of figure out what's going on and stop him. And it's really good. The acting is really good in it. And this is around the time Marlon Brando really started going nuts with his performances and, like, doing crazy accents, wearing crazy costumes. It's basically, like, this is a couple years before making Apocalypse Now. So he's, like, not super fat, but he's heavier, but he's really good in it. And his eccentricity really works for the character in a way that if anyone who may have read Blood Red Meridian, the Cormac McCarthy book, the villain in that... Blood Meridian. Marlon Brando reminds me of that character a lot. This just kind of evil spirit who is very puckish, but there's something sinister about him even when he's like taking a bubble bath. And it's just a lot of, and it's Marlon Brando, you're like, oh, if only you could have stayed right there on the edge, Marlon Brando, you would have had a number of great movies left in you. But instead he just kind of toppled over. But it's a very good movie, and it's a very good 70s Western.
And you said Randy Quaid's in it, right?
Randy Quaid is in it, yes. And Harry Dean Stanton.
That is a twofer, friends. That is a twofer of great character actors.
And also Jack Nicholson.
Nah, let's talk about Randy Quaid some
more. And Marlon Brando. Like, two of the best actors ever are in it.
Yeah, but I mean, they're in a lot of movies. But Randy Quaid and...
Yeah, because Randy Quaid's only been in a handful of films.
So I would like to recommend...
So The Missouri Breaks, that's what that's called.
Randy Quaid presents The Missouri Breaks.
Starring Randy Quaid.
I think my
Randy Quaid joined.
I think my recommendation is appropriate for a week where we talked about One for the Money with Katherine Heigl.
Your recommendation is One for the Money with Katherine Heigl.
No, it's fun. Watch it on a plane. For
a movie that has an unconvincing female action lead, I would like to recommend a movie that has a convincing female action lead, which was
Aliens?
Haywire, which I watched. The Steven Soderbergh film starring Gina Carano, or
sure.
Carano, I don't know how you say
it. You got to pronounce it right around her, man. She's
Carano. UFC fighter Gina Carano, who Steven Soderbergh saw, I believe, on a plane doing UFC fighting.
Well, he was trying to watch Sherlock Holmes 2, per your recommendation.
Couldn't find it. Punched the UFC button and said, "This woman needs to be in a movie." Wait.
There's a UFC button?
Yeah, it's right next to the stewardess button. Yeah. It's where the ashtrays used to be.
But it's a lot of fun. You know, it's kind of a sister film to The Limey. It's even, like, Lim Dobbs, the guy who wrote The Limey, wrote Haywire. And it's like The Limey, except for all the significance of The Limey has been removed, and it's just a straight-ahead sort of action thriller.
If you swap out Terrence Stamp for a badass female MMA fighter, and she just beats a bunch of dudes' asses.
Yeah. That's basically the movie.
Sounds pretty awesome. Do they use old footage of Terrence Stamp in it?
They do not.
Okay, well.
But they do have, like, weird...
Unfortunately, Ken Loach didn't make too many UFC movies.
It is a Steven Soderbergh movie, so there is weird, like, out of chronological order editing, and... is it David Holmes who does the
Sherlock
scores?
Sherlock Holmes.
Like, the guy...
I think Elliot's right.
I don't know. The guy did the score for, like, Out of Sight did the score for this.
Did he do the score for Contagion?
I don't know.
That's
it's
a
got
great
that,
score.
It's got that, like, weird, like, sort of throwback jazz score.
Oh, then I don't think so.
And it's the sort of Steven Soderbergh film I like, where he's just taking on, like, a genre movie, but making it really fun.
What's the kind of Steven Soderbergh film you don't like?
Che?
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I wanted to see that.
But this movie is a trim 90 minutes, unlike Che.
Which is a fat 4 hours.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. Go see it. Stu, what do you have to say?
I'm going to recommend a movie that is both, is my two favorite
both
things.
Freaky and takes place in a castle. It's called Invisible Maniac.
It's called Freaky Castle Friday.
This is a movie that's both a found footage movie, which I totally love, right, dudes? And
I don't, okay. You don't.
Now, I'm going to recommend the movie Chronicle, which is like a mishmash of both the like found footage style of movie and a superhero movie. And for some reason, it manages to work. It's a movie where you have a bunch of three high school kids. You know, you got one creepy kid who's going to be Tetsuo later on. You got one kid who's like the cool, nice guy. And then you got
Kaneda.
Yeah. And then one guy who's like, you know, the cool, like, he's like a jock, but, you know, he's pretty cool. And he's played by Michael Jordan.
Basketball player?
No, the guy who played Wallace in The Wire and was on Friday Night Lights.
Not,
his name's Michael Jordan.
Not pro basketball. He should change that name.
Not Space Jam's Michael Jordan.
I don't think so. I mean, I'd have to watch Space Jam again.
You've forgotten who Michael Jordan
not
is.
Not Michael Jordan
years.
Walking on air is Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
I think it's maybe a Sports Illustrated video they put out years ago.
So, you got these three dudes. They touch this weird magical geode that's down in a hole somewhere, and then they get like superpowers, and they try and keep it cool for a while, and then they totally start abusing their powers and blowing shit up. Now, the thing is that the whole like found footage element actually kind of works for it. The special effects and the powers and everything seem a little more real and a little more, and they can let their budget stretch a little farther. So, yeah, it's good.
So, Chronicle.
Chronicle.
Of Riddick.
The Chronicles of Narnia is what you're recommending.
Yes.
Lego's Bionicles.
Never was allowed to buy Bionicles.
The Chronic. The album, The Chronic,
well,
is what
like
you're recommending.
One, yeah, why not?
Sure.
Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo.
I mean, it's a great game. Do we want to keep going, or do we want to sign off?
Let me think if I can think of another
Chronos,
one.
Chronos, the movie.
Chronos, the Greek god thing.
He's a titan.
I mean, he's still a god thing.
Yeah, titans are god things.
Coneheads, the movie.
Yeah, no, that, yep, that's I recommend close that. I guess.
David Cone, the baseball player.
I don't know that. That guy,
Coney but... Island, the island?
Yeah, probably.
No, Waffle Cone, the best way to eat ice cream.
I mean, it's better than sponge sugar.
So right. Chronicle.
Yes.
All right, well, I think that's it.
Wait,
guys.
You guys got any more? You good?
No, I think yeah, I think okay, you look good. I think our you're words. I think our words that sound like other words quota has been met.
Oh, okay. Exceeded. Yeah. We don't even have to do any next week, though. We will.
Oh, Housecat, what are you doing here? Okay, well, for the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
Stuart Wellington is there- me.
And there he goes, Elliot Kalin.
Good night, everyone.
Oh, it's hot.
Stuart Wellington is me.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Dude. Nice Al Madrigal impression.
Thank you.
Al Madrigal?
Yeah, Al Madrigal is Al Madrigal's animal friend. Ooh. He's a correspondent on The Daily Show. Because Al will say who.
Okay.
I get it.
No, I got it. That's
like late. The hit band, the Guess Who.
Let's do this shit show.
Yeah, man.
I was hoping to do a good show today.
No.
Nope. Meow.
Came to the wrong
I'm outvoted 2-1. Let me drink.
You're outvoted 2-1.